From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Senate Republicans have moved to block construction of a defense bill with a provision that would repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the policy that bars gays and lesbians from serving openly in the military. As NPR's David Wellner reports, Democrats fell four votes short of the 60 needed to take up the measure.
Both Democratic senators from Arkansas joined their GOP colleagues today in voting to block the defense authorization bill and its provision ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Oklahoma Republican James Inhofe said it was not the time to repeal that policy.
It's a dumb thing to do, to try to use the defense authorization bill in times of war to advance a liberal agenda. And what is that liberal agenda? The liberal agenda is to have open gays serving in the military.
But Connecticut Independent Joe Lieberman, who supports repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, noted that Majority Leader Harry Reid reversed his vote so he can try to bring up the bill again.
Senator Reid has made clear that we're coming back and we're going to do this in November or December because we have to pass this bill.
That bill has passed Congress every year for the last 48 years. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
White House economic advisor Larry Summers is the latest presidential advisor to announce he is leaving. Summers, who came to the administration after serving as president of Harvard, will leave at the end of the year to return there as a professor. In a statement today, the White House praised Summers for agreeing to answer the call and lead our economic team. Summers is the third high-level member of the president's economic team to leave this year. Federal Reserve wrapped up a one-day meeting in Washington today, holding off on taking further aggressive action to energize the economy. As Danielle Carson reports, some analysts don't think Fed intervention is the way to pump up the recovery after all.
Policymakers aren't quite ready to test whether buying up billions in bonds will pack enough punch to stoke economic growth. They want to wait and see if the economy can pull itself out of a rut. But the Fed statement said it is, quote, prepared to provide additional accommodation. Peter Buchvar, an equity strategist at Miller Tabak, gave this harsh assessment of the prospect of flooding the market with billions in new money.
When everyone thinks that the Fed is there at every single downturn, the economy can't really grow healthy on its own. And I think the Fed is past the point of responsibility and is now creating danger for the economy.
The Fed will unveil its economic forecasts when policymakers meet next month. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
Just about the entire government of the small Los Angeles suburb of Bell, California, was arrested today and charged with misappropriation of city funds to the tune of $5.5 million. L.A. County District Attorney Steve Cooley accusing the town's mayor, the former city manager, and most of city council of using Bell's public money as their own personal piggy bank.
This was calculated greed and theft accomplished by deceit and secrecy.
Charges include allegations former city manager Robert Rizzo was paid nearly $800,000 a year. Bit of waffling on Wall Street today in response to the Fed meeting. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 7 points. The Nasdaq fell six. This is NPR. A federal appeals court is now reviving a Securities and Exchange Commission insider trading case against Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans announcing today it is plausible Cuban knew he was not permitted to sell shares of an internet company he owned. The SEC had accused the Dallas billionaire of selling his stock in the company Mama.com in 2004 after receiving insider information, thereby avoiding taking a $750,000 loss. The lawsuit against Cuban was dismissed by U.S. District Court judge last year after he ruled Cuban never agreed he could not act on the confidential information. Government wants to stop commercial truck drivers who are hauling hazardous materials from texting while driving. NPR's Brian Naylor reports the proposal comes as the Department of Transportation holds its second distracted driving summit in Washington.
Nearly 5,500 people died last year and 500,000 were injured in crashes involving a distracted driver, according to Transportation Department figures. The department is conducting a summit in Washington this week aimed at reducing those numbers. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood wants states to adopt tougher laws against texting while driving. The Governor's Highway Safety Association is to consider whether to call for banning all cell phone use while driving when it begins its annual meeting on Sunday. The government last year barred commercial truck and bus drivers from texting. It now wants to close a loophole and prohibit haulers of hazardous materials from doing the same. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.
Crude oil futures prices ended the session lower today. The near-month contract for benchmark-grade crude oil was down $1.34 a barrel to close at $73.52 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.